Red Titles, a Peter Rogers production. Carry on screaming.
Carry on screaming. Carry on screaming. 'Cause when you're screaming, I know that you're dreaming of me.
Starring Kenneth Williams, Jim Dale, Joan Sims, Harry H. Corbett, Fenella Fielding and John Pertwee.
Bats flutters by, everybody's getting goose pimples, cold icy fingers that run up your spine. Whoa, come closer, come closer, those fingers that you're feeling are mine. So carry on screaming, carry on screaming, 'cause when you're screaming I know that you're dreaming of me. Each single heart beats a sickening thud, curdles the blood. Oh, baby, ain't it romantic? I've locked the door and I've swallowed the key. Come closer, come closer, 'cause you bring out the monster in me. So carry on screaming, carry on screaming, 'cause when you're screaming, I know that you're dreaming.
Directed by Gerald Thomas, in a wood, a pretty young woman dressed in Edwardian clothes screams.
What's the matter? What did I do?
What was that funny noise?
What funny noise?
I don't know, sort of.
I can't help being a bit passionate, can I?
Oh, Albert, I didn't mean what you were doing.
What are you shivering for?
I don't know. A funny feeling. It come over me all of a sudden, like icy fingers down my spine.
Oh, love me, Doris. Look, I did keep me gloves on. I can't do more than that, can I?
Oh, I didn't mean your icy fingers, Albert.
Well, whose then?
I don't know, but got a feeling someone's watching us.
Well, good luck to him. I've been courting you a year and there's been nothing worth watching so far.
Albert!
Well, I'm sorry, Doris, but after all, I'm only flesh and blood. And if something doesn't happen soon, well, something's going to happen, that's all.
Too funny. I never thought you'd be in like that. You know, flesh and blood and that.
Well, it's time you started thinking about that.
Oh, Albert.
Oh, Doris.
They kiss.
What now?
There is something in those bushes.
For Pete's sake, Doris, we're never going to get anywhere if you keep going on like this.
Albert, oh, they're bushes because I saw them move.
Oh. Anyone there? No, they are seeing nobody. Come on.
Oh, you don't expect them to say so, do you? Couldn't you? Couldn't you go and look?
Oh, all right. Who's there? Come on, who's there? There's not a peep show, you know. Come on, buzz off, or there'll be trouble. Come on out, you peeping Tom. For the last time, I'm warning you. Come on, get out, go home.
A hairy monster with a high square head and fangs plods out from behind a tree. Wearing overalls, he stops and looms over Doris, smiling.
Ah, there's nobody here. Just trying to put me off, that's all. What did I tell you? There's nobody that... Doris? Doris?
Doris has gone.
Oh, Doris, stop messing about. Where are you? Doris? Well, answer me.
Albert, a young man wearing a dog-tooth jacket, looks down and picks something up from his coat, which is spread out on the ground. It's a hairy finger. He grimaces in fear and legs it off. Later, he's at the police station.
Well, if that's all you have to say, Mr. Potter, I'll telephone my superior.
In bed, Detective Sergeant Sidney Bung gets woken up by his panicking wife, Emily.
What's the matter? What's the matter?
That noise. Huh? What's that noise?
Noise? Well, it's only the telephone bell. Aren't you ever going to get used to it?
I'll never get used to it. The invention of the devil, that's what it is. People talking through wires, waking respectable people at all hours. It's like someone walking in when you're in the bath. Huh? It's an invasion of privacy, that's what it is.
You in a bath, that'd stop any invasion, that would.
Well, I'm not having it in my house a moment longer, do you hear? And if it doesn't go, I will. I can promise you that.
Promises, promises, always promises.
Sydney answers.
Slowbottom here, Sergeant. Sorry if I'm disturbing you and Mrs. Bung.
That's all right, Slowbottom. We weren't doing anything.
I thought you ought to know, Sergeant. It's happened again.
What's happened again?
Another disappearance, Sergeant.
Did you get a description?
Naturally. It's a Miss Doris Mann, aged about 20, medium height, average colour hair, ordinary eyes, wearing clothes.
I mean, it should be a piece of cake finding her, shouldn't it? Where did it happen?
Oakham Woods. Again.
Again? That's the sixth woman who's disappeared on the same spot inside of a year.
Exactly, Sergeant. Do you think there could possibly be some connection?
It's possible, Slowbottom. But we mustn't jump to any conclusions.
No, no, of course not, Sergeant.
Who reported it?
He's here now. Calls himself Albert Potter. Medium height, brown hair, beady eyes.
Never mind the description. You just keep him there till I get there.
Sydney hurries back into the bedroom.
Move over.
What did you say?
Move over to my side of the bed.
Certainly not. You're not getting around me like that, Sydney Bung.
Oh, please, Em, just this once. I've only got a few minutes. Up! I'll say this for you. You make a very good trouser press.
You're not going out.
No, I'm putting these on to take a bath.
And where do you think you're going at this time of night?
To find another woman.
Don't lie to me. You're going to that wretched police station of yours, I know.
No, you've caught me out.
You haven't any time for me, let alone any other woman.
I'll bet on that.
Police, police, police. That's all you ever think about. Never mind about me. Oh, dear, no. Do you realise you haven't taken me out for years?
I don't exaggerate. We went out a couple of months ago. Had a lovely time.
You call that lovely? To my poor dear mother's funeral.
Well, I enjoyed it.
Oh, yes, you would. I should have listened to her. Never marry a policeman, she said. You can't trust him, she said. Unreliable, she said. He'll lead you a dog life, she said.
And she was right.
I should have listened to her.
So should I. Where's my other boot?
He picks a boot up from by the bed.
That's right, off you go. Never mind about saying goodbye, even.
Goodbye, even.
That's it, knock my poor mother down. Now look what you've made me do.
Smoking a Sherlock Holmes-style pipe, Sydney strides through into the station.
Oh, excuse me, Sergeant.
In my chair again, eh, Slowbottom?
Just warming it up for you, Sarge.
Right. Is this him?
Yes, Mr. Potter, window cleaner, 33 Hogsmeade Road. Friend of the young lady that disappeared.
Right. Get out your notebook, Slowbottom. I want every word of this taken down.
As I understand it, you took this girl out to Oakham Woods, right?
That's right, yes.
For what purpose, Mr. Potter?
Eh?
What did you take her out there for?
Well, I don't know. We just sort of felt like it.
Felt like it?
Felt like what?
I wouldn't like to say, Sergeant.
I'm asking him.
Well, Mr. Potter?
Well, we just felt like getting a bit of fresh air and that.
I see.
Getting a bit of what?
Fresh air and that.
What's that?
Same as the other.
Oh, I see.
Well, Mr. Potter, you took her into the woods. How far did you go?
Oh, not very far, because I've only known her a year.
Don't put that down. No, what I meant was, how far did you get into the woods?
Oh, not very far. Just to this little clearing I know.
Do you happen to know what Doris was wearing?
Yes, a sort of white frilly blouse with a dark green jacket and a long green skirt.
Did you get that down?
Oh, no, as I said, I've only known her a year.
I'm talking to my assistant.
Don't worry, Sergeant. Got it down?
Good. So that's all you can tell us, Mr. Potter.
There is one thing. I found this where she'd been sitting.
Hello, hello, hello. What have we here, then?
I'd say it was a finger, Sergeant.
I know it's a finger. Is it one of hers, Mr. Potter?
Well, of course not. What sort of girl do you think I'll go out with?
Right, take that down to the lab. I want a full report on that first thing in the morning.
Yes, Sergeant.
On your way out, stop off at the desk and inquire, has anybody reported the loss of a finger this evening?
Yes, of course, Sergeant. Why didn't I think of that?
Slowbottom, a chubby man in his 50s wearing specs, carries the hairy finger off. It's night time. Sydney drives Slowbottom and Albert down a dark, misty road in an old automobile. They get out near the woods.
Now, Mr. Potter, I want you to show me exactly where you and the young lady were.
Through here.
Slowbottom. Slowbottom, Sergeant.
You stay here.
What? All by myself, Sergeant?
Yes, Slowbottom, all by yourself. If I shall require any assistance, I shall give 3 sharp blasts. Got it?
Yes, Sergeant. Blast, blast, blast. I beg your pardon.
On my whistle. Immediately on hearing that, you will surround the entire area.
But I can't surround the entire area by myself, Sergeant.
Excuses, excuses, always excuses.
Albert leads Sydney into the woods. In the small clearing, the monster, called Oddbod, looks for his finger on the ground. He hears the 2 men coming.
One of you young fellas get married. It's much easier, you know.
Oddbod stomps off towards a bush.
That's where we were.
Sydney circles the clearing, then smiles to himself. Slowbottom.
Is that you, Sergeant?
Slowbottom raises his hat to Oddbod.
How do you do?
Then faints. Oddbod plods over to the car and starts banging on it. He pulls the mudguard off and takes a bite out of it. Back in the woods.
Do you notice it?
Well, it smells as if something's been dead too long.
Well, don't look at me. Peculiar. It's very peculiar. Was it here before?
God, I didn't notice it.
Uh-huh. Yes, 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 yes.
What could it be?
I don't know. Let's get back to the station.
Oddbod plays with the car's horn. Oddbod hears Sydney and Albert approach.
Where are you? Slowbottom, where are you?
They go to pull Sidebottom up from the ground. Sydney pats him on the cheek and he screams.
What's the matter with you? It's me!
Oh, I'm sorry, Sergeant. I thought it was that horrible thing again.
What horrible thing?
I don't know. It was something unspeakable.
Unspeakable?
Yes, never said a word. Came out of the woods straight at me, great big glaring eyes, long pointed teeth, 10 feet tall.
Did you notice anything unusual about it?
Yes, there was a horrible smell, like dead fish it was.
Dead fish?
They pull Sidebottom up.
Have a look round, Potter.
Right. No. You go and have a look around. You're supposed to be the great detective.
I intend to. First thing in the morning. In the meantime, I've got more important things to do at the station.
At the gates of a foreboding country mansion, Oddbod makes his way through, past 2 pillars with gargoyles perched on top. Sydney drives his automobile back down the country road, stopping when he sees the mansion ahead.
Why are we stopping here, Sarge?
There's a house.
It's right, you know, it is a house.
Marvellous, but we're not looking for a house, we're looking for Doris.
I know, but this is right in the middle of the woods. They might have heard or seen something suspicious. We can't afford to leave any stone unturned. What's the name of this road, Slowbottom?
Avery Avenue.
Then we must explore Avery Avenue.
They get out of the car. Sydney bangs his cane on the bonnet with a flourish as he goes. As they approach the mansion, Albert spots a gold plaque on one of the pillars next to the gate.
There's a notice here.
What's it say?
Just a minute.
Albert lights a match.
Bide a wee rest home.
Come on, let's go inside.
They head through and approach the arched front door. A stone gargoyle with its tongue out looms over the doorway. Sydney goes to ring the brass bell but finds a rolled up message inside where the button should be. He pulls it out and reads it.
Please knock.
He knocks on the door. The door is opened by a tall butler with a pale face.
Yes?
Sydney looks down and notices that the immaculately dressed butler is also wearing slippers.
Good evening. Could I see the master of the house?
The master of the house is dead, sir. He's been dead 15 years now. But if you'll come in, I'll ask him if he can see you.
Yes. If it's not too much trouble.
They step through into the cavernous entrance hall where gas lights hang from the ceiling. Sidney gestures to Albert to take off his hat, which he whips off as the huge butler, Socket, leads them off.
This way, sir.
He opens a door for them and stops as they hurry in skittishly.
If you'll wait in here, I'll go and talk to the master.
I thought you said he was dead.
So he is.
That should be a conversation worth hearing.
The three men wander around the room, which is filled with antique furnishings and paintings. Socket closes the door. Albert points out a painting of a naked woman.
How about this? That must be the mistress of the house.
Say, Sergeant, notice anything unusual about that woman?
No. What? The eyes. They seem to be alive.
A woman behind the painting pulls away from where she'd been watching them through peepholes in the eyes.
Come.
I'm sorry to disturb you, miss, but some gentlemen are here.
Yes, I was looking at them, Socket. What do they want?
They wish to see the master, miss.
My brother is dead, Socket. Don't you understand? He's dead.
Oh, yes, miss. I did tell them that.
Then why are they still here?
Well, I'm afraid I forgot myself and told them he might see them. Did I do wrong, miss?
Oh, Socket.
I'm terribly sorry, miss. You won't send me back. There.
I should do, Socket. If only you weren't so necessary to me.
The woman, Valeria, kisses him and his toes curl upwards.
Enough. Let me go.
Valeria, who is pale with brown hair, pulls away.
Go now. I have to get my brother up.
Wearing a slinky red dress, Valeria crosses the room and opens a trapdoor beneath a rug. Valeria descends some steps down into a cellar laboratory. A burning cauldron bubbles away in the floor at the far end of the room. Valeria heads towards some gauges and switches in a wall, beneath which there's a body covered on a slab. She lifts the cover. Underneath is a lifeless pale man with conductors attached to his ears. Valeria pulls a lever. The man twitches into life and sits up.
What time is it?
Just past December.
I told you not to call me till the beginning of March.
I know, Orlando, but this is an emergency. There are some men here to see you.
I can't see anyone in my state. I'm nowhere near regenerated yet.
You will just have to, my darling. I think they're police officers.
Police officers? What do they want with us? We've done nothing wrong.
Have we?
Oh, I don't know. I sent Oddbot out this evening.
Oh, dear, and hasn't he come back yet?
Yes, he's come back. Oh. Well, he's come back, but one of his fingers is missing.
Oh, heavens, I hope he didn't leave it anywhere embarrassing.
That's what I'm afraid of. I sent him back after it, but he was disturbed.
So would you be, with one of your fingers missing? That's the trouble with my regenerative process. It makes everything so brittle. You never know what's going to drop off next.
Serious for a moment. If they found that missing finger, it could be very awkward.
Yes, I'd better go and see them, I suppose.
Well, don't go without your portable booster.
No,
you've only had 1,000 amps.
They would have to come tonight, just when I'm feeling half dead.
The thin man, Dr. Watt, who has a beaky nose, heads towards the steps. Upstairs, Albert inspects an upright Egyptian coffin in the wall. Albert looks around mischievously, then pulls away the lid of the coffin. Inside is a mummy with a bearded mask.
What is it? What?
Oh, Lummy.
It's only a mummy.
What, a mummy?
With a beard?
Well, they didn't only do it to women. Men got pickled too.
Ah, gentlemen, I see you're admiring my pharaoh. He was the founder of the 4th dynasty, you know, King Rabba Titi.
How very interesting, sir.
Yes, I've often thought how fascinating it would be to make him live again. I bet he could tell us a thing or two, All those barge orgies on the Nile. No wonder they kept finding things in the bulrushes.
Would you be the master of the house?
That's right, yes.
I only asked because your butler informed us you were dead.
You don't want to take any notice of him.
A young lady has disappeared and we're anxious to trace her whereabouts.
Oh, whereabouts?
Hereabouts.
At 10 o'clock.
Or thereabouts.
In this vicinity.
Or roundabouts.
We're police officers.
Or layabout.
That, sir, as you may have surmised, is a member of the general public who's been giving us some right cooperation. I just wondered, sir, if you had happened to see or hear anything suspicious in the vicinity this evening?
Oh, no, I haven't heard or seen anything for weeks. I've been away, you see.
Are you prepared to make a statement today, Fixer?
I just did, didn't I?
Well, I'd like my assistant to get it down, just to get it on the record, sir. Now, first of all, your name, please.
Dr. What?
Dr. Who, sir?
What? Who was my uncle or was? I haven't seen him for ages.
We appear to be at Loggerheads, sir.
No, no, this is Bidawee. Loggerheads about 5 miles down the road.
No, no, about your name.
What?
What's your name?
What's his name?
That's what I'm trying to find out, Sergeant.
Excuses, nothing but excuses. Just get the statement down. I haven't seen or heard anything suspicious in the vicinity this evening.
You too, eh? I'm so glad it wasn't just me who didn't.
Well, look, sir, we won't take up any more of your valuable time. You've been most kind and quiet.
Not at all. I'm only too glad to help at any time.
What's the matter, Doctor?
Just a bit run down. If you'll just plug this into the socket. What's that mean, Sergeant? Oh, lovely, look, he's going away.
Dr. Watt begins to dematerialise.
But don't just stand there, plug it in.
Albert plugs Watt's booster into a socket.
Oh, crikey. No, he's coming back.
Dr. Watt materialises again and sits up, smiling.
Ah, that's better. Now, where was I?
With the matter of fact, sir, you were sort of coming and going. You didn't quite... What's the matter with you two? Come back! Didn't you see what he did?
Yes, he's right, Sergeant. If you ask me, there's something not quite right about that man.
Don't be so silly. He's just an eccentric, that's all.
I saw through him immediately.
So did we. That's the trouble.
Above the entrance door, the gargoyle laughs at them.
Look, madam, you and I, as respectable officers of the law, are going to walk out of here with dignity. Slowly.
They peg it. Barrier attaches conductors to Oddbod's hand and takes hold of a lever in the wall.
Oh, Oddbod. If only you weren't so damned attractive.
She kisses Oddbod on the lips while he's unconscious and pulls the lever. Dr. Watt comes in.
They've gone.
Good. Did they suspect anything?
Of course not. I went out of my way to behave perfectly normally.
Oh, well, that should be all right then, shouldn't it? But what did they want?
Oh, something about a girl disappearing in the vicinity.
Oh, that must be the one Oddbod brought back.
Oh, he got one, did he? Oh, yes. Very nice. I must say, he has very good taste.
Yes, well, we must vitrify her tonight and get her away first thing in the morning. It started to work.
Oh, yes. It's regenerating very nicely.
Well, this is a nice time to be coming home again. 6:30.
Now, don't you start. I've been up all night looking for a woman.
Well, that should be something you're very good at, looking for women.
I wouldn't say that. Last time I tried it, I found you.
I dread to think where you'd have finished up without me.
You know something. I watched a bloke disappear in front of my eyes tonight. I was just wondering, why couldn't you do something useful like that?
Oh, yes, you'd like to get rid of me, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you?
Emily, dear Emily, shut up!
Oh.
Sydney notices a protrusion under the covers of the bed. He whips the blankets away. Underneath is the phone.
What have you done?
Taken it down.
Do you realise you have cut me off in my prime? How are they going to call me when they want me?
That's your worry. Now I'm going to get some of the sleep it's been depriving me of.
You forgot to disconnect the wires.
That'll
teach you.
Hello. Oh, Slowbottom. No, we weren't doing anything. What? Good. Oh, Struth, try and stay awake till I get there.
You're not going out again.
No, I'm putting these on to tread a few grapes.
Woo, that's lovely, that is. Do you realise I've had a full 2 minutes of your company? This is a real red letter day, isn't it? I must remember to make a note of it in me diary.
I'm wanted down at the station.
Oh, yes, you would be. Put them before me. I wonder you don't marry the ruddy police force and have done with it.
What, miss all the fun I've had with you?
I don't know why you bother coming home at all. Stay at your rotten old police station. Let them look after you. See if any of them will give you what you got from me.
It's been so long since I've had anything from you. I've forgotten whether it's worth having.
At a doctor's lab.
Fingers I have known. No. Fanny Hill. Oh, that'll do the noise. Ah, here it is. Origins of Man.
Hey, you ever read this book?
Here, look at this. Homo gargantuoso. Homo. Aye. Well. Yeah. That's the wrong homo. Ah. Homo gargantuoso.
There it is. Well, the finger looks the same.
Aye, that's the one, all right. Aye. He's extinct now, of course.
Are you saying that this finger's come off something that has been dead for 500 years?
No doubt about it. Dead as a doornail.
Well, Doc, you must be wrong. That finger came off something that was alive last night, anyway.
We can very soon prove it. We can prove whether it was living membrane by giving it a very strong electrical charge.
Yeah, will you do that, will you?
Sarge, there you are. We've got a lead. This was pushed through my letterbox this morning.
What was?
Dear sir, if you want to know what happened to Doris Mann, I can tell you. I am the cloakroom attendant at the one by the park, and you can see me any time at my convenience.
Let me see that.
Do you think it's genuine, Sarge?
I don't know. It's unusual notepaper. Perforated at both ends. Could be. Come on!
They run out. In the street, they jump into the waiting car. Behind them, in another car, a man wearing a fake beard pops his head out of a window and spies on them. It's Dr. Watt. He pops his head back in and talks to Valeria next to him, who's wearing a feathered cape.
They've just come out.
Let's follow them and see what they're up to.
Good idea.
As Sydney drives off in his cranky old automobile, Socket drives Dr. Watt's luxury black car after them. Sydney drives to the entrance of Hokum Park and comes to a stop. Albert and Slowbottom jump out. Socket parks up behind them. Sydney and the other two make their way down into the tiled gents' washroom where a thin janitor in spectacles is cleaning the sinks. As the janitor, Dan Dan, turns round, Sydney and the others try to hide behind a pillar. He spots them.
Oh, hello. Morning, gents. Like a nice wash, would you?
Tom.
Help yourselves.
I've got your note.
Oh, you're the young fellow who's with that girl, aren't you?
Yes. What do you know about it?
Plenty. But it'll cost you a bit.
All right. It'll be quite enough of that sort of talk.
Yeah, what do you think you're doing? Who are you pushing?
I'm a police detective, and I must warn you that I shall take down anything you say.
All right. Trousers.
All right, Slowbottom. I'll take over. Hey, forgive him. He's a bit new. Well, there's no need for anybody to get excited, is there? Mr.
Dan. Daniel Dan.
Dan Dan. Yes. That is a funny name for someone in this job, isn't it? Well, we just want to have a friendly little chat, Mr. Dan.
Well, shall we go to my little room?
Dan Dan takes them into an office which is furnished like a lounge.
Make yourselves at home, gents.
Well, this is a nice place you have here, Mr. Dan.
Yes. Well, there's something to be said for it. I live in a man's world.
Well, Mr. Dan, about this note you sent to Mr. Potter, it's very important.
Ah, Mrs. Peabody. Hello, Mrs. Peabody. Nice woman. Her husband's a customer of mine.
Yes, very interesting, but...
You know, I can honestly say that I know everyone who goes past here intimately, you might say.
Yes, I would say that business here is definitely looking up.
No stockings. She never wears them. Mind you, I've seen worse. There's a Scotsman who goes past here in a kilt and you wouldn't give it credence.
Mr. Dan, the Sergeant Bung is trying to ask you some questions.
All right, all right, all right.
We want to know what happened to Doris.
Yes, I'm sure you do. Her and the others.
And the others? What do you know, Mr. Dan?
I was working out at a place near Hocum Woods as a gardener.
By the way?
That's the place. Not a bad job. Well paid.
Outside, Dr. Watt looks down at the glass tiles in the ground and spies on them talking to Dan Dan in the office below. He rushes back to his car.
They're talking to Dan.
Dan?
Dan, the gardening man, you know.
Oh, that could be very awkward. We must silence him. Oddbod?
Mind you, I'm not saying that what happened to Doris isn't what happened to the others, but it looked very suspicious to me.
Yes, yes, Mr. Dan, for goodness sake, what happened to the others?
I was just coming to that. Well, I saw...
Oddbod stomps by on the glass tiles above.
Hello? Who's that, then? Must be a stranger around here. Did you see those dirty great plates?
Mr. Dan, please, what happened to those girls?
All right, all right, all right. Well, I was telling you, I saw...
Sounds like a customer. I'm sorry, you'll have to excuse me, gents.
Dan Dan rushes out.
How long's he gonna be, for heaven's sake?
Good morning, sir. Night, Dan.
Dan Dan's eyes widen when he sees Oddbod approaching. In the office, the others wait with glum faces.
I don't like the sound of that.
Nor me.
Come on! Dan Dan, where are you?
Sergeant!
Water pours out from a cubicle.
Look! Open it quick!
They try and barge it open.
Just a minute.
Sydney pulls them away and puts a coin into the cubicle door. He shoots a stern look at Albert and steps inside. He comes back out looking shaken.
Don't look.
Is he...
drowned?
In the doctor's lab, wispy-bearded Dr. Fettle puts Oddbod's finger into a coil of copper wire attached to a machine. He hits a switch. He ups the voltage and a hand starts growing outwards from the finger. Dr. Fettle has a spasm of shock as he watches a whole new Oddbod materialise.
Extraordinary thing.
A young, naked Oddbod covered in fur stands looking at the doctor. Coming into the station, Sydney and Slowbottom hear an almighty crash.
Blimey, now what?
They run to the lab and see an Oddbod-shaped hole in the wall leading out. Slowbottom points out Dr. Fettle's legs on the table.
Sergeant, look!
The legs have been cracked and bent out of shape. Sydney peeps over the other side of the table to look at the rest of Fettle's body. He gags and grimaces.
Don't look!
Slowbottom looks and faints.
You look!
There, I think she's ready for delivery.
Yes, quite the best one we've done so far, I think. Pretty, too. Seems such a waste.
Oh, nonsense. Living, she'd just have got old and fat. But like this, she'll stay young and beautiful forever.
Yes, but not half so much fun.
Put the lid on. I'm going to raise Oddbod.
Dr. Watt picks up some sawdust.
Excuse me, dear.
He throws it into the crate holding Doris and closes it. Valeria regenerates Oddbod.
Now listen, Oddbod. Take that crate up to socket. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And then go out and get me another girl.
Giant Oddbod plods over to the crate that Dr. Watt is nailing shut. Oddbod heaves the crate containing Doris over his shoulder and walks off with it.
Gently, does it? We don't want it to arrive all broken.
Do we have to do another one tonight? I feel quite run down.
I'm afraid we must. We're behind with the orders as it is.
Oh, well, I've just got time for a quick charge. Yes, just do me up, will you?
Valeria attaches a conductor to his ear.
Oh, luxury.
Outside, Oddbod carries the crate over to a horse and cart.
Oh.
The horse trots off with the crate and Oddbod walks off into the woods. Nearby, the younger Oddbod, who's still naked, pops up out of a bush and creeps towards the mansion. In the lab, Dr. Watt lies with his eyes closed. Valeria notices naked Oddbod Jr. on the stairway.
Orlando!
Valeria pulls the lever.
What are you doing? You might have killed me.
I'm terribly sorry, but look.
Oddbod, what are you doing back here?
Haven't you noticed? He's naked.
Yes, of course I've noticed. Oddbod! Oh, it's disgusting! Put something on, you filthy beast! Oh, isn't it sickening? One never gets a minute's peace around here. What's the matter with you? Making an exhibition of yourself like that? Most uncivilized!
Orlando! This isn't Oddbod.
Of course it's Oddbod. Well, I ought to know. I was the one that found his body and brought him back to life.
No, it isn't. It's Oddbod's finger. This whole thing has been regenerated from it, don't you see? The body cells have automatically built themselves up again into the same form.
Good heavens, it's worse than rabbits. Talk about pulling your finger out.
Orlando, did you do this?
Of course not. I've never seen the wretched thing before.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
But if that's the case, someone else must have subjected the finger to an electrical charge. I don't like it.
Neither do I. Let's face it, this thing is getting bigger than both of us.
Who can that be?
I knew it! It's the police! We're done for! Oh, why did I ever meddle in this horrible business? I was happy enough as a simple chemist, making my little liver pills. They never did anyone any harm. Well, not if taken in moderation. Of course, if you overdid it...
Oh, for heaven's sake, pull yourself together! I'll see who it is. You look after him.
All very well for her to say, pull yourself together. But, I mean, look what happened to Dr. Frankenstein and Dr. Jekyll. I was at school with them, you know. Yes, they always pinched me pocket money. So the change did them good.
Valeria slinks over to the door and answers it to Sydney.
I would like to see...
the master of the house.
I'm afraid my brother is resting. Will I do?
Will you do? What, miss?
Perhaps you'd better come in. There must be something I can do for you.
That would be highly cooperative of you, miss.
She shuts the door and shoots him a sexy smile.
Will you come this way?
As Sydney follows her, she stops and sticks her rear out by the doorway in a sexy pose. They walk into the parlour room.
Do please sit down.
Sydney goes to sit on an armchair. Valeria pats the sofa.
No. You. We can make contact better. Oh, and do call me Valeria.
Valeria, miss. That is an unusual name.
You haven't told me your name.
Bung, miss. Sergeant Bung.
Bung. Bung. Bung, 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 bung. That's a very fitting name.
Yes, my first one is Sydney.
And what is it that you want, Sydney?
A man was killed under very mysterious circumstances this morning. And it appears he used to work for you as a gardener. Drowned, he was. Drowned. in a couple of minutes. Name of Dan. Dan, the...
Valeria plants a kiss on his lips. He freezes.
Forgive me. I just had to do that.
It's all right, miss.
We are here to be of service to the public.
Yes, but I don't think you're very experienced in the ways of love.
If you want to know the way, ask a policeman.
I find you very fascinating, Sydney. Would you show me your whistle?
Of course, miss.
It's not much of a one, I'm afraid.
Nonsense! I think it's a beautiful one. May I blow it?
The pee's gone. I'm afraid I got overexcited once and I breathed in.
Poor Sydney. Go on. Show me how you got overexcited.
As they go to kiss again, Sydney breaks away and stands suddenly.
I have come here, miss, to perform a duty.
Well, get on with it. I haven't got all night, you know.
If I could just have the answer to some questions first...
Well, all right. I'm sure I know all the answers.
I'm sure you do, miss.
You must learn to relax more, Sydney. Take things as they come. Come on. Sit beside me for a moment.
Sydney goes back to the sofa where Valeria is laid back languorously and smiling cheekily.
There you are. You see? Now, that's much more comfortable, isn't it?
Very much so, miss.
What must you think of me? I'm such a terrible hostess, I haven't offered you a thing.
I wouldn't say that, miss.
Do you drink?
Not on duty, miss.
Do you smoke?
Not on duty, miss.
Well, do you mind if I smoke?
No, of course not, miss.
Thank you so much.
Smoke rises from her body and her expression transforms into one of ecstasy. Sydney leaps up from the sofa and grabs a glass soda squirter. He looks down at her, writhing on the sofa.
And I was trying to give it up.
He puts the squirter back down and sits back on the sofa, where he's consumed by the smoke. It's another day. Sydney dances into the station happily.
Oh, morning, Sergeant. I didn't expect you so soon.
That's all right, Slowbottom, old chap. Put your feet up. Carry on.
Is anything wrong, Sergeant?
Oh, everything's fine. Just fine. What's all this?
Well, Sergeant, I've been examining the files on missing persons, and I've discovered a remarkable similarity amongst them.
Well, that's not so surprising, Slowbottom. We buy all our files at the same shop.
No, I mean a similarity in cases, Sergeant.
Oh, I see. Oh, you don't want to bother about the cases, Slowbottom. You want to learn to relax more. Take things as they come. That's what gets results.
By the way, how'd you get on last night?
Very nicely. Very nicely indeed.
And you did learn something?
Not all. I think I'm onto something good there.
Yes, I thought so. You know, I've always thought there was something not quite right about that house. Something about Dan, was it?
Who?
Dan.
Sydney shakes his head and giggles.
Sergeant, are you all right?
Excuse me, Sergeant, but you're wanted.
What for?
That Mr. Potter's in trouble again. Seems he's run amok and wrecked a minery shop down the road.
Good for him. Come on, Slowbottom.
I've never seen anything like it before, Sergeant. Completely wrecked my window and almost killed poor Mr. Vivian here. I've had to draw the blinds. I can't have that sort of thing going on here, you know.
Well. What have you got to say about this, Mr. Potter?
It's her, I tell you. It's my Doris.
Oh, come on now, Mr. Potter. It's only a dummy.
It is not a dummy. It's her.
All right, then, Mr. Potter, we'll take your word for it that it looks like Doris.
It is Doris. Blimey, I ought to know. I've been going out with her for a year.
Mr. Potter, you just come over here with me a minute. Now, does that sound like Doris?
Well, I don't know. I've never hit her with a pipe.
Look, she's solid, like a rock. Go on, feel it for yourself. Go on, feel it.
Oh, she's all cold.
Well, wouldn't you be standing round with nothing but your corsets on?
Wait a minute, I've just remembered. I might be able to prove it, Doris.
All right, Mr. Potter.
How? Well, Doris had a little birthmark on her...
I know what. You sure? How do you know?
She told me.
All right, Mr. Potter, if it's going to make you happier, go ahead and have a look.
What, in front of all these people? What do you think I am?
Well, some fool's got to do it. It isn't going to be me.
Sydney strolls over to Slowbottom.
Slowbottom?
Oh, Sergeant.
I've got a little job of investigating for you to do.
Oh, what, oh, Sergeant?
It should be right up your street. Go over to that dummy, examine it, see if you can find a birthmark about that big.
All right, Sergeant. Where is it?
There?
Oh, Sergeant, do I have to?
You're a detective. You're supposed to be able to tackle anything. Detect.
Slowbottom heads over to the shop mannequin holding a magnifying glass.
Sergeant, I've covered every aspect of police work, but I've never been called on to tackle corsets before.
It's very simple. You undo the laces, you... It's just like football boots. Haven't you ever taken football boots off?
Not off a lady, Sergeant.
Get on with it.
Oh, dear.
Slowbottom inspects the mannequin's bum.
Sergeant, which one did you say the birthmark was on?
Slowbottom. There are only two. It's a simple process of elimination.
Yes, Sergeant. Well, there doesn't seem to be anything here. What, oh, there is something here.
What did I tell you?
It seems to be a little round... Oh, dear. It's come off in my hand.
Well, let's have a look at it then.
A sticker.
Made in England.
Now, Bud, are you with us again?
Yeah.
Oh, no, not now.
She heads over to Dr. Watt.
Come on, Orlando, work to be done.
Oh, dear, no rest for the wicked.
Dr. Watt removes the sheet from Oddbod Jr. on the slab.
Oh, look at Oddbod Jr., sleeping like a baby.
Stop crooning at him, Orlando. Wake him up and put him to work.
Oh, we can't do that, dear. Not yet. He's not ready for it. Not until he's been properly house-trained.
This one must be vitrified tonight.
A pretty brown-haired woman lies on a slab.
Oh, yes. Very nice. What about removing any moles or birthmarks?
I've done that.
Oh, yes. I never seem to get any of the interesting jobs.
That'll do. Oddbod?
Oddbod picks the unconscious woman up and carries her away. He puts her into a bath of liquid.
See to the vat, will you, darling?
Yes.
Dr. Watt heads over to the cauldron in the loop inside. Oddbod takes the woman out of the vat. She's covered in grey liquid and solid.
Just nice. Let's see now. What does she weigh?
120 pounds.
Ah, allow 3 minutes per pound. That's 6 hours at regular sevens.
All right, Oddbod, we're ready.
Oddbod puts the woman into a metal box frame attached to a wire. He pulls a lever and the frame elevates and moves across the lab, taking the solid woman towards the cauldron. Oddbod plods over to the woman and pulls a rope, lowering her into the hot liquid.
Ah, well, here goes.
Oh, please, Orlando. Please don't say it.
Say what, dear?
You know perfectly well what. What you always say at this time. It's an extremely bad taste.
What? Oh, you mean frying tonight?
Ooh, there are times when I
Miss
really...
Valeria.
Yes, what is it, Socket?
That policeman's here again. The sergeant.
What's he doing here? What's he after?
The same as he was after last night, I imagine.
Oh?
Information.
Oh, how I hate these honest law-abiding people. Why can't everyone be thoroughly horrid, like us?
Yes, I will see him, Socket.
Oh, this is awful. I wish I was dead.
But Orlando, you are dead.
What? Oh, yes, I am. What a life.
In the parlour room, Sydney waits for Valeria. He finds a box on a table and opens it. Inside are some stickers. He takes one out.
Made in England. That's a coincidence.
He puts the box down as Valeria comes in.
Sydney, how sweet of you to come back to see me so soon.
I had to come, Valeria. I've been thinking about you all day. I'm intoxicated with your beauty. Everything I see reminds me of you. I can't get you out of my mind. I look at my two inkwells and I see your lovely eyes. A letterbox. I saw your lips. In the street, there was a little boy playing with two balloons.
Yes, well, I think that's quite enough of that sort of talk, don't you, Sydney?
I only meant like our two hearts floating away. Oh, forgive me. Forgive me. My passion runs away with me.
It's enough, Sydney. Let's sit down, shall we?
Yes.
He rushes to the sofa and sits waiting for her. Valeria sits on the armchair.
That's better. Now tell me, how are your investigations going?
Oh, those. As a matter of fact, we thought we'd found the missing girl today, Doris Mann.
Oh?
But it turned out to be a dummy in a shop window. Mr. Potter swore it was her.
Oh, how extraordinary. And was it?
How could it have been? I was only a dummy. It even had one of those Made in England labels stamped on it. Just like the ones you've got in the desk over there.
Forgive me, Sydney. I shan't be a moment. I've just remembered I've left something cooking. Orlando, they spotted the one we sent out yesterday in a shop window.
I knew it. We're done for.
Not yet. He doesn't know it's her, but we can't afford to take any chances. We must get her back.
Get her back? How can we do that? It'd be stealing.
Well, I thought we might persuade Sergeant Bung to do it for us.
Him? Old goody-goody. You must be mad.
We might get him over on our side for a while. You know, with that prescription Dr. Jekyll made up for you.
Oh, yes, that stuff. But don't you think it might be awfully risky? I mean, we still don't know what the side effects are. We don't want him having triplets or something.
Here it is.
Valeria returns to the parlour room.
Nothing burnt, I hope.
What? No. Everything was fine. Shall we just have a little drink?
I don't think I'd better. Not on duty.
Oh, please. I think both of us might become a little more friendly, no?
Well, if you put it like that...
She pours out two drinks that smoke.
It's an old and rather unusual brandy. It has a smoky flavour.
Has a smoky look, too.
Or to get the most out of it, it's best to take it straight down in one go.
Well, here's to friendship. Yes, 1870, a very good year.
Sydney knocks it back and goes into spasms. He sinks behind a sofa, gurning.
Valeria, has it worked?
I don't know yet.
Sydney pops back up. He's hairy with fangs.
Oh, he looks absolutely lovely. Very nice.
Sydney heads towards Valeria with a crazy look in his eyes. He has hairy hands and feet that have burst out of his shoes.
Sydney, listen to me.
Oh, I must have a noggin of that myself.
Stop it, Sydney, stop it. Sydney!
No, don't stop him, dear. He's supposed to do thoroughly beastly things.
Listen to me. I am your mistress.
Don't say that, dear. It'll only make him worse.
You must obey my commands, do you hear me? You must obey me. Right. Now,
There's something I want you to do for me.
No,
not that. Now listen to me. And listen carefully.
Sydney's on the seat of a horse and cart, sockets at the reins. On a dark street, Sydney hops down and makes his way to a shop window. He turns back to Socket, who slowly shakes his head. Sydney walks straight through the glass of the next window and grabs the Doris mannequin. He carries the mannequin out and hoists it up onto the back of the horse and cart. Later, Sydney drives home. He's still wild and hairy. In bed, his chubby wife, Emily, wakes. Emily looks at the clock, which says 2:30, and smiles to herself. She sits up, ready to let him have it as he bounds through the door.
Well, this is a nice time to be coming home again. I don't know why you don't stay out all night and have done with it. Oh, that's right. Try and look all innocent. If you could just see yourself, you look disgusting. Disgusting! And isn't it about time you got your hair cut? You needn't think I'm going out with you looking like that. Oh, dear me, no. Oh, and just look at your teeth. Well, you can't say I haven't asked you to go to the dentist. For all I care, they can rot. Sidney Bung, you have been drinking. So, this is the step on the final path, is it? Well, you can't say my mother didn't warn me.
While Sydney tips Emily out of bed and smashes the picture of her mother, she attacks him with a broom. The next day, Sydney, back to normal, wakes up in his bath.
What? Oh, blimey. Oh, my head. Oh.
He bangs his head on the boiler and gets out of the bath.
Where am I? Oh, truth. What did I do last night? What happened? All right. Hang on. Oh.
He answers the phone in the hall.
Hello. Just hang on a minute. Blimey, who am I? Oh, yeah. Sergeant Bung here. Detective Sergeant Bung, I think. Who? Oh, Slowbottom. Look, Slowbottom, Mrs. Bung and I weren't doing anything. Now kindly remember in future to save time that Mrs. Bung and I never do anything. What do you want? What shop broken into? You don't say. Look, I'll be right there. Now, don't touch anything. You understand? Don't move. Well, of course you can have a...
Emily, you awake?
You disgusting creature, get out!
What's the matter with you?
How dare you come over and get drunk and assault me!
Assault you?
Yeah!
I wouldn't assault you with a fire!
Get out! Oh. Fine, get out!
You
know very well what you did, but I'm going to make you pay for it! I'll get my own back on you, don't you worry! Come here, you! I'm not finished with you yet!
What precise time would you say this happened, sir?
How should I know? I was only called out of bed 30 minutes ago.
Called out of my bed after. Your bed was that, sir?
No, it was, what difference does it make whose bed it was?
Might make a difference to somebody, sir.
Sydney parks up outside the shop.
Glad you've arrived, Sergeant.
Hello? What's happened here, then?
Oh, I'd say it's a pretty clear case of breaking and entering.
No. This window's been broken in several places, for a start.
You don't say?
Oh, yes, I do, I do. And then there's the footprints inside.
What footprints?
Inside.
But what am I supposed to have done? Why don't you tell me? What am I supposed to have done? It's a disgrace!
They push Albert into an office.
Keep still. You're assisting the police with their inquiries.
All right, slow, let him go.
And I should think so, too. Look, what's all this about, Sergeant? I'm supposed to be at work, you know.
All right, Mr. Potter. All we want to know is, where is it?
Well, Lummy, it's your police station. You ought to know where it is.
No, not that. Where's the dummy?
Dummy? What dummy?
The one you thought was Doris. The one you stole from the shop last night.
What? I never did any such thing.
I suppose I took it, then.
I don't know who took it, but it definitely wasn't me.
All right, Mr. Potter. If you want us to do it the hard way, take your boots off.
What for?
Never mind what for. Take them off.
Albert takes his boots off.
And your socks as well.
Look, what's all this about?
We're investigating a barefoot robbery.
Sydney and Slowbottom inspect his feet.
Are you sure those are your feet?
Of course they're mine. Who do you think they are?
Slowbottom takes a more detailed look at Albert's feet through a magnifying glass.
Sarge, there's only five toes.
Well, how many am I supposed to have?
Six! Where's the other one, eh? What have you done with it?
I haven't done anything with it.
So you admit there was another one?
Oh, I'm getting out of here.
Just a minute, Mr. Potter. Where were you last night?
In bed.
Any witnesses to corroborate that?
My landlady.
Oh. Oh!
She came up with a bottle.
Sounds like a pretty loose living place you lodge in.
She always comes up with a hot water bottle.
I beg your pardon.
Sarge, it's just possible that he and the landlady are in collusion.
Don't be disgusting. She's over 60.
All right, you can go, Mr. Potter.
Yeah, well, I should think so, too. Talk about incompetent. You're a bunch of idiots. That's what you are. You ought to be out looking for whatever it was that got poor Doris. That's what you ought to be doing. And if you're not going to, well, I will. So there.
Very suspicious behavior, Sergeant. Very suspicious.
Quiet! Oh.
Sydney bends over and puts his fingers to his head in an affected pose.
Something the matter with your back, Sarge?
I'm thinking.
Oh. Maybe, Slowbottom, we're approaching this case from the wrong angle.
Angle, Sarge, yes.
Let us, for one moment, sift all the facts.
Yes, let's have a sift. I'm all for a good sift.
Shut up. Now, all these women who've disappeared, was it an accident? Or do we assume foul play?
Foul, Sergeant, definitely foul.
Right. Foul! And if it was foul play, what clues have we got to lead us to this conclusion?
Well, Sergeant, there were these enormous footprints.
Yes, feet.
And then there was a peculiar odour at the scene of the crime.
Yes, smell. And then there was that thing you professed to have seen that squashed my ootah.
Something horrible it was, Sergeant.
Something horrible. Anything else to go down?
I think that's just about it, Sarge.
Right. Let's look at what we've got.
They look at the blackboard.
Foul, feet, smell. Ooh, something horrible.
Maybe we're still approaching this from the wrong angle, Slowbottom. Now, let us assume that all these women were abducted by this unknown thing.
Certainly some thing, Sergeant.
That leaves us with one course of action, Slowbottom. How would you set about catching a mouse?
Well, it's a bit bigger than a mouse, Sergeant.
Look, I'm not suggesting that this unknown thing is a mouse. I'm merely asking you how you would set about catching one.
Put a bit of cheddar on a trap, Sarge.
That's it, exactly. You'd set a trap.
But we don't use cheese. We bait our trap with a woman.
Be a bit heavy, Sarge. I mean, when she sat on
I'm not suggesting we put a woman on the mouse trap. I wish I'd never mentioned this. All we do is we stick a woman in Oakham Woods and lie in wait.
Ah, I see. Then when the thing comes for her, we nab him.
That's it, exactly. At least I do.
Just you, Sarge. What would I be doing then?
Well, be sensible, Slowbottom. And we can't use a real woman. Something might go wrong.
Yes, I get the point, Sergeant.
So, instead, we will use someone who looks as if he is a woman.
What a brilliant idea, Sarge. Ho-ho! Who did you have in mind, then?
In the ladies' clothes shop, Slowbottom comes out of a dressing room wearing women's clothing. He has on a pink blouse, a blue skirt, and a hat with pink feathers.
Ah, there you are. I do beg your pardon, madam. I thought you were... I'm expecting... is he ready yet?
Slowbottom taps Sydney with a handbag.
How about it?
Oh, really, madam, on some other occasion, I might be delighted to avail myself of the... Is he ready yet?
Sarge? It's me, Slowbottom.
I'm afraid it's the best I could do, Mr. Jones, but even I have my limitations.
Yes, still, it's a nice dark night.
Sydney leaves the shop with Slowbottom in his posh drag. Outside, Emily spies with another woman from a cab.
There, what did I tell you?
Oh, really, Mrs. Parker, how could he? And with a shop girl.
Ha! Come on, hurry up, get it. No idea how difficult it is, Sergeant, in this uniform. What was that?
I hate to think.
If it's my upholstery, I'll kill you.
Oh, good gracious me.
What was it?
I don't know what they call them, but they've split.
Get in, darling.
Give us a bunk up, Sergeant.
Ooh. Don't worry, madam, there's no wind tonight.
Mrs. Parker gets out of the cab.
Now, you do what I've told you. Follow them, see what they do. You see if I'm not right.
As Sydney drives off, Emily follows in the cab. In the mansion, Oddbod Jr. grabs Valeria.
No. Why must you be so rough, naughty Junior? Don't you understand? You don't have to strangle them. One look at your face should be enough. Oh, dear. I don't think he's ready for it yet, dear.
He must go out tonight.
Oh, all right. Oddbod, come and show him how you do it once again, eh? There's a darling.
Oddbod picks Valeria up and carries her away.
There, you see?
Oddbod!
Gently does it.
Oddbod! Stop it! Oddbod!
Oh, dear, he's at it again.
Oddbod, drop, I say! Naughty bod! Honestly, it's not natural the way he carries on.
Ah, don't be cross. He's just a bit overexcited.
Yes, he's over something. Now, off you go, the both of you, and remember, don't come back empty-handed. I only hope we're doing the right thing. I do wish Junior would learn to use the door.
He walked straight through it. Sydney drives down the dark woodside road and parks up. He takes his truncheon and whacks the bonnet to make the engine stop. Slowbottom stands up.
Oh, blast it! Ooh, ah! Ladies, don't swear.
They would if they had these corsets on. Ooh, it didn't half catch me.
Come on, get out.
Here, I hope there's nobody looking, Sergeant.
Stop messing about.
Well, right on the altar.
Oh.
Sergeant, don't hit a woman.
Now give me your hand.
Eh?
We've got to make this look real.
You're not going to kiss me, are you, Sergeant?
To the woods.
Emily's taxi pulls up. The driver turns towards her.
They've stopped the car and they've gone into the woods, ma'am.
Emily gets out wearing a sour face.
Wait here.
Holding Slowbottom's pink gloved hand, Sydney leads him to the clearing in the misty wood.
Yes. This is the spot.
He lays his coat on the ground.
Right, get down.
What for?
Because that's what Doris Mann was doing when she copped it.
Yeah, well, I'm not copping it.
Get down.
Wait a minute. Ooh.
Ah! They sit down. Sydney has his arm around Slowbottom. Emily spies on them from behind a tree.
What's so funny?
Yeah, I was just thinking. Supposing my wife could see me now.
Albert cycles through the wood and gets off his bike. Resting his bike against a tree, he takes a shotgun that he's attached to the frame. The bike falls over as he pulls at the shotgun. He props the bike back up again and carries on into the wood.
How do you expect anything to go out of its way to have a go at you? Look at you, sitting there like a bag of nutty slack.
I'm doing the best I can.
But it's not good enough. Try and look a bit more seductive.
But I don't want to be seducted.
Well, abandon then.
Slowbottom sticks his leg out, then puts his finger to his lips coquettishly.
I'd sooner have the nutty slack.
Emily storms off but runs straight into the arms of Odd Bod Jr., who grabs her and pulls her away.
What was that?
What was that?
I'm going to have a look. You stay here.
Don't leave me, Sergeant! Sergeant!
Sydney wanders off carrying a pistol. Odd Bod Jr. carries unconscious Emily through the woods. Elsewhere, both Albert and Sydney stalk through the woods with their firearms. In the clearing, Odd Bod looms behind Slowbottom, who stands up.
Oh, thank heavens you're back, Sergeant. Oh.
What a smashing disguise. Look at those teeth.
Slowbottom realizes it's not Sydney and screams. Albert fires his shotgun and the recoil throws him to the floor. Hearing the shot, Sydney hits the deck and checks his gun. He runs at Albert and grabs him.
Oh, Sergeant Bunk!
You!
What are you playing at? Why do you want to scream like that?
I didn't scream, I thought it was you!
Slowbottom! 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 Sergeant! Look!
Albert points down at a hairy ear on the floor.
Oh, no!
Blimey! It's got Slowbottom.
But I don't understand. What would it want with men?
He's not a man. He's a woman.
Oh, I thought there was something funny about him.
No, I meant he was dressed as a woman.
But, and you don't think that funny?
Look, we tried to trap it, whatever it was that got him.
Oh, it's going to get a bit of a shock when it gets home, isn't it?
We've got to find Slowbottom. Footprints. Come on.
Odd Bod Jr. carries Emily towards the mansion. Inside the mansion, Dr. Watt attaches conductors to the bearded mummy.
What do the kiss within the cup? And I will not ask for wine. Now this isn't going to hurt much. Just a preparatory injection to get the old body cells going. So you'll be a brave mummy. There. Didn't hurt much, did it? Just a little prick. Now let's see what happens, shall we?
Orlando!
Hello, Valeria.
Oh, Orlando, what are you doing?
Well, I just thought I'd have another go at regenerating old Rubber TT.
You know perfectly well it won't work. He's been gone too long.
I thought if I increase the electrical charge...
Oh, don't let's waste time. This is much more important. Junior has brought one back. We must vitrify her immediately.
Oh, dear. We never seem to have any fun anymore.
In the cellar, Odd Bod Jr. removes a sheet from Emily, who's unconscious in her underwear. Valeria and Dr. Watt come down and inspect Emily.
Is this the best you could do? What am I expected to do with this? It's a load of old rubbish.
I can sell it to Lacey's.
They deal exclusively with fittings for the more matronly figure.
Well, they'll have a fit when they see this one.
Oh, don't waste time. Inject.
Yes, well, the target area is large enough. The trouble is finding the bull. No.
Oddbod brings in Slowbottom.
Ah, this one looks more like it. Well done, Oddbod. Very good. What's happened to your ear?
Yes,
well, ear today, gone tomorrow.
In the woods.
That's funny. The footprints stop here. Unless it crossed the road.
There's the house again.
Come on, let's see if they're all right.
Sydney and Albert head through the mansion gates. Emily is lowered into the cauldron.
You get the other one ready. This one will be finished in an hour.
Dr. Watt lifts the sheet from Slowbottom and looks under it.
Oh, what is it? What's the matter?
It's a M-A-N.
A man? How do you know?
Well, after all, I'm a doctor.
It's impossible. You must be wrong.
Oh, well, of course, if you want a second opinion.
Well, I don't understand. Why should a man be dressed as a woman?
I don't know. Perhaps his parents wanted a girl. What's that?
Oh, don't panic. I'll go and see who it is.
Upstairs, Socket answers the door in his nightgown. Sydney and Albert bound in.
I want to see Miss Watt.
I don't think that's possible.
Oh, that's quite all right, Socket.
Valeria, are you all right?
Well, yes, Sydney. I was just going to bed.
Don't!
What?
Not on your own, I mean.
I beg your pardon?
I mean, it's not safe, Valeria. Another woman disappeared tonight.
Really?
Well, I mean, at least not a real woman. It was my assistant, dressed as a woman.
I see.
And whatever it was that took him, it came this way.
It?
I think it was some sort of monster. This came off it.
This here?
Yes, that there. Oh, lock all the doors. I'll go to Grizzly for help.
No, please stay with me. Just for tonight, Sydney.
I couldn't do that. Could I?
I'd feel so safe if you stayed with me.
Yes? Just a minute. Mr. Potter, I shall be spending the night with Miss Watt.
I don't blame you.
Yes. Would you mind going back to the police station and telling them what's happened?
Oh, no. Mr. Potter must stay, too.
Eh?
You're so big and strong, you think. Socket, show Mr. Potter and Sergeant Bung to the waiting room, will you?
The waiting room?
It's the room next to mine. There's a communicating door so that if I should call...
I'll be there!
This way, please, gentlemen.
Are you out of your senses asking them to stay here?
Well, what else could I do? Sergeant Bung is getting to be a bit too dangerous. We shall have to get rid of them both.
We can't get rid of them tonight. What about the disposal of the bodies? The dustmen don't come till Friday.
Well, it's not my fault. They've both got to go. Get Oddbod and Junior.
I can't. They're completely flat. I've just put them on a recharge.
In that case, Mr. Clever, we shall just have to use other means, shan't we?
Valeria picks up a glass tank with a snake inside.
Oh, him. Well, I suppose it's all right, but it's an awfully dated method, you know. Fangs ain't what they used to be.
Hello, darling.
Well, if he's Sergeant Bung's assistant, I suppose he ought to go, too.
Why don't we do what they did to your friend Dracula? Drive a spike through his heart.
No, I don't really feel like driving tonight.
Oh, shame. I know. Why don't we start a new line in male dummies? The tailor shop.
I say, what a good idea. They can fit him, they can fit anyone.
Well, get Oddbod and Junior up. I'll get the woman out of the vat and we'll do him next.
Right.
Dr. Watt regenerates Oddbod and Junior. Slowbottom, who's on a slab, frowns as he watches Oddbod sit up next to him. Junior sits up on the other side. Sidebottom faints. As Sydney sleeps in bed next to Albert, someone cuts a hole in the ceiling above them and lowers down the snake. Sydney wakes as he feels the snake writhe in bed next to him. Albert wakes too.
Do you mind? What do you mean, do I mind? Stop poking me in the back. Me poking you in the back? I like that.
Yeah, well, I don't. I get too much of that from the old woman. Keep yourself to yourself.
And the same to you.
Good night.
The snake wriggles again. Sydney gets out of bed.
That does it. I have had enough.
You've had enough, mate. What about me?
Hence the trouble. I don't know about you.
I'm going to spend the rest of the night sleeping on the floor.
It's all right. Keep calm.
What's that?
They must have shot the snake.
As long as it wasn't the cat.
Come on.
They run upstairs. Wearing women's underwear, Slowbottom gets up from the slab. He has a little stretch in his corset. Up in the bedroom...
What's all the panic about? The snake's dead.
Look, there's something funny about this place and I'm not in a laughing mood. I'm getting out of here.
All right, then go.
Don't you worry, mate. I'm going.
Albert opens the door and sees the two oddbods approaching.
You changed your mind, have you?
There's something out there.
What?
I don't know, but whatever it is, there's two of it.
Oh, you're imagining things. All right, then I'll have a look.
Sydney opens the door.
There you are. Look. Let's get out of here!
The oddbods smash the door down as Sydney and Albert run through into the next room. As the two oddbods break the next room's door down, Sydney and Albert fall backwards through a panel and down a slide.
It's jammed. Quickly, down the stairs.
Where are we?
How should I know? Ha! There's a door!
Sydney tries to get a door open. It won't budge. In the lab, Slowbottom tries to dash up the stairs but hears Dr. Watt coming and turns back down again. Sydney and Albert slide the door upwards and it opens. It leads into the lab. Seeing the door open, Slowbottom runs to the slab and lies down on it again.
Look.
Albert and Sydney run over to Slowbottom.
Poor old Slowbottom. One of the finest men I ever had.
Sergeant! Yes, you! It's him!
You great steaming nit! Were you trying to do right me to death?
I'm sorry, Sergeant. I thought it was those horrible things coming back.
It is those horrible things coming back.
Valeria and the two oddbods arrive at the top of the lab stairs. Below them, Sydney and the other two have hid themselves under sheets on the three slabs.
They must have got out. Search the ground.
Valeria and the oddbods go. Sydney and the others come out from the sheets.
Let's see if there's another way out of here.
They run to a door. It's locked. They dash through the lab and see the Doris mannequin lying on a slab.
Doris!
It's not Doris, it's only that dummy again. Listen!
But I know it's her!
Where's my match? If you want to be a bit more light in here, you'd see that it wasn't.
Let's switch here, Sergeant. There.
Ooh! Now you've done it. Now you have done it. One of our bonfire let know we're here. Come on, let's get out of here, quick.
But no way! Look!
Oh, Albert, you've been gone a long time. There you are.
What did I tell you? It is her.
I don't believe it.
Don't you dare. I don't want to see if she was hard or soft.
Albert, where are we? Look at those people.
It's all right, darling. They're just policemen.
Slowbottom, I'm beginning to think he's right. There is something funny going on in this house.
You don't know the half of it, Sergeant. You should have seen that awful-looking thing they pulled out that vat just now.
What awful-looking thing?
Oh, I can't describe it. Oh, it's in that crate over there.
I suppose we should have a look at it.
For evidence?
Yes.
Sydney sees his wife in a crate.
Emily!
Do you know her, Sergeant?
This awful-looking thing happens to be my wife.
Oh, bad luck. Oh, I mean, bad luck finding her here like that.
Well, never mind that. Help me to get her out of here.
Sergeant, she's as hard as a rock.
You don't have to tell me that. I've been married to her for 15 years.
No, give her a knock.
Sydney knocks on her.
Blimey, so she is.
Oh, come on, let's get out of here. They'll be back any minute.
He's right. We've got to go and get help. Don't worry, Em. We'll be back for you later. Oh, sorry. Oh, stay where you are. Don't move. Don't move. Where am I saying?
They all head upstairs. Sydney and Albert have their guns drawn. They cross a room where vials of pink liquid are bubbling and open a door leading out into the entry hall. The entrance door opens and the oddbods step through. Sydney points his gun.
Stand back or we'll fire!
Straight through them! It hasn't even heard them! They're impregnant!
Doris and Slowbottom faint. Sydney and Albert escape into the parlour room and jam the door with an armchair.
Slowbottom! Come on, pull yourself together. Come on, Slowbottom! Come on!
Did you see it, Sergeant? It went right through it!
Yeah, I'll go right through yours if we don't get busy. Let me barricade this door now. Come on! Oh, Sergeant!
Went through mine! I knew we couldn't trust them in a crisis.
They're in there! After them! After them!
Doris! Don't! Brandy! Brandy!
Albert picks up a bottle.
Well, don't just stand there. Go through your own hole. Come, Valeria.
As Albert swigs from the bottle, he gawps at Oddbod crawling into the parlour room through a hole in the wall. He suddenly starts gurning.
I can't get any more! Good, get me on the chair over there, quick! Come on, lad! Good lad,
that's your old one. I'd like to see anybody get through there.
Oddbod looms over Sydney. As terrified Sydney points his gun again, Oddbod shakes his head and advances. Sydney points the gun at his own head. The Oddbods turn and see Albert, who's changed into a hairy, wild version of himself. Albert picks up Junior and throws him across the room. He spins round and wrestles with Oddbod. He tosses Oddbod through the window and stalks towards Sydney.
Now, wait a minute. I'm on your side.
You can't hit me, I'm a woman.
He's changed again.
Pity. I think I preferred him as he was.
What happened?
You won by two falls and a submission. Come on, let's get on.
You thought you'd beaten me, didn't you? You think this is the green fly, don't you? But it isn't, see? It's filled with petrifying liquid, and it works. Well, who's going to be first?
Lightning hits the mummy.
Ravatiti, I've done it! He's come alive! Oh, isn't he lovely? What are you doing? Why are you looking at me like that? It's me, Wattie. I'm your friend. Rabatiti!
Please help him. He'll kill him.
You're joking.
Mommy!
Give me one good reason why I should help him.
I shall be very, very grateful.
That's a good reason.
No! Oh, I'm your friend, Rabatiti! Get away from me! This is all thanks I get for regenerating you. Listen, leave me alone. I'll send you back to Egypt.
gift. I promise. First class. All expenses paid. You'll have a lovely trip. Ah!
Dr. Watt falls back into the bath of liquid. As the mummy continues plodding towards him, Dr. Watt gets out of the bath and stumbles back towards the cauldron. He falls into the hot liquid with the mummy.
Crying tonight!
Daytime, Albert leads Doris out of the carriage. They're both dressed as bride and groom. They kiss and head to the door of Sydney's house.
Mr. Potter,
we wanted you to be the first to know, Sergeant. Doris and me, we just got married.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, you better come inside. That is good news. Oh, you've met the wife.
Oh, yes, I have, yes. How are you, Mrs. B?
She's still a mannequin.
She's still a dummy.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Yes, but Sergeant, you can regenerate her easy, like we did Doris.
We've only got guess.
Are you ready for your tea, Sydney?
Yes, Ta. Oh, and some for my friends, love.
Certainly, Sydney.
You mean she's looking after you?
That's right. Horrible, isn't it?
The end. ITFC audio description.